Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. As we turn the calendar into 2026, it's a perfect time to renew our commitment to spending more time in our Bible. How much time did you spend in your Bible last year? There is nothing in our lives that will serve us better this new year than spending more time reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, memorizing the scriptures, and above all, obeying the scriptures. Let's open our Bible now that we might make 2026 the most Bible-filled year of our entire lives.
Well, good morning and happy new year. Hopefully you're having a good and productive 2026 so far. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, well, as you turn over into 2026, what is it that's in your heart? What is it that you would like to make 2026 the greatest year of your life? How can you make 2026 the greatest year of your life in walking with Jesus, living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, and forgiving for Jesus? How can this year, the year 2026, after the death of Christ, how can this be the greatest year of our lives in walking with Jesus? Is that in your heart? You should have it in your heart. I should have it in my heart that we want, as Christians, to be productive in serving Jesus, to be productive in loving him, to be productive in giving our time, talents, and resources into his kingdom, in the work of the gospel, to be productive in forgiving for Jesus. Remember, ultimately, everything we do unto Christ, right? What is it? Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what is your plan? What is it that you're planning to do to make this the greatest, most productive year in your life, in your walk with Jesus? A year where you are more transformed, a year where you become more like Jesus. Well, we've talked about this before, but it's worth repeating for the rest of our lives. The one single aspect of your life and my life that's going to help us to grow to be more like Jesus, to grow to know him more, to grow to love him more, to grow to know his love for us more, to grow to obey him, Lord, and above all, to grow to obey him more, and above all, to grow to please him more, will be to spend time in our Bible, to spend time reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, to spend time just perusing the scriptures, meditating on the scriptures, memorizing the scriptures, feeding in the scriptures, and above all, obeying the scriptures and repenting where we fall short. It's by spending time in the scriptures that we will grow, that we will grow up now that we've received Jesus as our Savior, right? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Peter says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. The scriptures are pure spiritual milk. We had a really good Bible study this morning with the Kingdom D guys and one of our elders, Jesse. I was talking to him about how I remember, you know, 15, 16 years ago, how he would go up to a really nice restaurant in Dallas, where, you know, it was just such a beautiful restaurant. It had a beautiful seating area and it was large and it had, you know, little places to sit. And he would just go up there with his Bible and just sit in a leather chair. And it was like he would touch heaven as he would just read his Bible and spend time with Jesus. And, you know, we were reminiscing on that this morning in the group, and, you know, he was really blessed, you know, for that memory. But have you gotten to a place where you just can't wait to read your Bible, where you just say, man, I just want to be in the scriptures. I just want to spend time in my Bible. I just want to read the word of God. Verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Jesse craved pure spiritual milk, the word of God, for this season and years. And now, of course, he still is in his Bible, but, you know, have you ever had that season where you crave the word of God, where you just look forward to being in your Bible, where, like, wherever you are, you just want to open your Bible because you're just so excited about what you're going to receive in the scriptures. If 2026 is indeed going to be the greatest year of your life and the greatest year of my life, it will flow along the lines of the time and effort we spend in the Word of God. That's why we do these teachings. The reason we teach the scriptures, the reason we teach the Bible, the reason we do verse by verse teaching is because it's the scriptures that feed your soul, the scriptures that feed your spirit. It's by the scriptures that you will grow up in your salvation, that you're saved entirely by trusting in Jesus and in what he's done for you at the cross, trusting and relying on his life, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die. That's entirely a gift, simply receiving Jesus, right? John 1, verse 12, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. It's only in Jesus that God the Father becomes our heavenly Father. Jesus Christ becomes our Lord and Savior and Master and King. God the Holy Spirit becomes our guide, our counselor, and our comforter. So now that you're trusting in Jesus, you're clinging to Jesus, and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you want to grow up in your salvation. And that begins by spending time by putting the Word of God in you more and more and more and more. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Actually, I'll start reading in verse 1 to make this point. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. You see, the devil is trying to challenge Jesus, make him perform, you know, trying to challenge Jesus in his identity. Remember, Jesus is full-blown Almighty God, the God-man, fully God, fully man, the Son of God, God the Son. Imagine fasting 40 days and 40 nights and not eating anything. So he's weak now in his physical body. And that, of course, this is the time when the devil comes to him. It's a terrible thing. It's been said, I forget who said it, that when we're down, you know, and when we're hurting, most of us as people, let alone hopefully Christians, are the most merciful and the most loving when, you know, when others are hurting or down or sad or experiencing terrible loss. Those are the moments where we're the most tender and the most loving and the most understanding. The devil is his most vicious. When you or I are down or when we're sad, that's the point where he's his most vicious. Now, the good news is that he's been utterly defeated at the cross. He's been defeated by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus had to go through this tempting, and he didn't go through it, you know, on a full stomach, sleeping comfortably, all right? He's led by the Spirit into the desert to be by himself, led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, were tempted by the devil, and they failed. And they were a picture of what we all would have done. Every single one of us, save the God-man Jesus, when tempted by the devil in the Garden of Eden, would have failed as Adam and Eve did. Jesus now is led by the Holy Spirit out into the desert to be by himself for the very purpose of being tempted by the devil so as to defeat this temptation, okay? And in defeating the temptation, it's credited to us when we receive Christ. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that perfect, righteous life that Jesus lived, that victory that Jesus had over the tempting of the devil, the perfect, sinless, righteous life that Jesus lived is actually credited to you as if you lived it when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You and I didn't live it, but it's credited to you as if you did. And all of our sin, your sin and my sin, past, present, and future sin, is credited to Jesus on the cross. That exchange is the heart of the Christian gospel. Think about that. That's kind of a nice swap, right? That's kind of a nice exchange. That's kind of a nice trade. All of my sin, all of my disobedience, all of my wickedness, Christ receives in himself at the cross. And in exchange, he gives to me and credits to me, imputes to me his perfect righteous life. Again, that exchange of my sin for the perfect righteous life of Christ is the very heart of the Christian gospel. But notice verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And he's talking about, you know, Jesus is God, so you could turn, he can do whatever he wants, right? He is God, he can will it, and physical stones or rocks on a mountain would become fresh baked bread for Jesus to eat. Look what Jesus says in verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Wow. I mean, now just think about that. Let that sink in. If we're going to make 2026 the greatest year of our lives in walking with Jesus, it's going to come from what is written, okay? Now, most of us won't go 40 days. Dare I say, probably any of us will go 40 days without eating anything at all this year, okay? But even after going 40 days with no food, and he has the power to produce food at any time to make it appear, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Wow. I mean, it's profound. And he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Humanity, men and women, we don't live on physical bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live on the scriptures. We live by growing to know the scriptures, by feeding our soul in the scriptures. If this is going to be a watershed year for us, a year where we take material steps forward in our walk with Jesus, it will begin by spending more time in the Word of God. It's a good thing to go to church. Make sure it's a good, sound, Bible-based church that's teaching only the Bible, nothing else. Teaching only the scriptures, teaching the scriptures properly. That's a good thing to be in a good Bible-based church, to be in fellowship with other believers, okay? You know, that ought to be, going to church ought to be about 5% of your total walk with Jesus. That hour and a half on Sunday ought not be the majority of your Christian life. Regrettably, for the vast majority of those who call themselves Christians, 95% of their Christian life is sitting in church for an hour and a half on Sunday. Church is a good thing. Church should be dessert, okay? Meaning you're spending so much time with Jesus, spending time in the scriptures every day, spending time in prayer, spending time in praise and worship and thanksgiving. Spending time again in the Word of God, right? Reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, meditating on the scriptures, memorizing the scriptures, obeying the scriptures, repenting where we fall short of what we read in the scriptures. So when we get to church on Sunday, it ought to just, I mean, it ought to be, like I said, dessert. It ought to be overflow, because you're so filled up from spending time with Jesus in all these ways, but particularly in the scriptures. So, Father, again, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we have this Bible. We thank you, Father, that we can turn the calendar into a new year and have our Bible, Lord, have the Word of God to feed our spirit and to feed our soul and to be transformed as we renew our mind in the scriptures. We just thank you for that, Father. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to point us to the scriptures, to convict us in the scriptures, to give us eyes that see your word, ears that hear, hearts that would understand your word like never before. But above all, we ask you to point us to Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, you are our Alpha and our Omega. You're our beginning, you're our end, you're our first and our last. Lord Jesus, we worship you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, we commit this time now into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I recalled that I had forgotten to pray when we opened, but it's never too late. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 12. Paul writes the first 11 chapters of Romans. Some have said that the book of Romans is the greatest piece of literature ever penned in the history of humanity. Ever since there's been writing of any kind, the 16 chapters of the book of Romans, it's been said, are the most important, the most valuable literature ever penned, ever, ever. Let that sink in. Makes you want to go to the book of Romans, right? Now, the whole Bible is the Word of God. Okay, but look at Romans chapter 12. Paul's given him revelation that's about why we need Jesus, about who Jesus really is, gives us an understanding of really what he accomplished in living for us, dying for us, and rising again. And now he's going to move over into chapter 12, where he's going to tell us what is our responsibility in light of that. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are an incredible historical account of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. They tell us what happened, you know, the things that Jesus said and did as he walked the earth. They're the Word of God. They're incredible, right? The book of Acts, right? You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. The book of Acts is a historical account of the early church, of how after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, the places and things that the early church did. Now, the next book, the sixth book, the book of Romans, you know, we're not being told anymore what happened like we are in the four Gospels and in Acts. But Paul is now explaining the significance of what it means that it has happened. Okay? You and I, if we walked with Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, could have actually taken notes and written down what happened. Okay, we could have walked with Jesus and written down the things that he said and things that he did. That's what Matthew did. That's what John did. Mark and Luke were secondhand accounts. They went to those who had walked with Jesus and they wrote down what the people told them, the things that Jesus said and did. You know, that's something that if Jesus assigned it to you, you could do. Again, what am I saying? If you physically lived with Jesus those 3.5 years, and were led by the Holy Spirit, you could have simply taken notes and written down the things he said and did. When you turn over to the book of Romans now, this is different. We're not writing simply, Paul is not writing, you know, the things that Jesus said and did. Paul is explaining the significance of what it means of all the things that Jesus said and did, particularly living for us, dying for us, and rising again. You move from knowledge to understanding, you know, understanding the meaning, understanding the purpose of all that Jesus did. That's not something that we could have done on our own. The Holy Spirit gave Paul revelation in Romans that is heavenly. That's otherworldly. So again, after going the first 11 chapters, Paul says in verse 12, therefore, in light of all he's explained, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We're told to be transformed in light of all that Jesus has done, in light of the fact that Jesus, as God, willingly entered this world, lived for us, died for us, and rose again. In light of the incredible love and sacrifice of Jesus, we don't want to conform any longer to the pattern of this world in 2026, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are changed. We are transformed. We go through a metamorphosis beginning in our thinking as we spend more time in the scriptures. You want this to be a year of spending more time in the scriptures. The scriptures, again, are the living word of God, the flawless word of God. The key to this year being a year of transformation will be spending time in the scriptures. And perhaps this will be a year where you will see more deeply into the scriptures, where you'll have times, as we talked about, as Jesse did, where you can't wait to be in your Bible, or you can't wait to listen to a teaching like this. You just can't wait to sit down and be in the scriptures, that you might read the scriptures and understand them and feed your soul and spirit in the scriptures. Remember, Jesus, Matthew 4:4, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I mean, the vast majority of Christians, you know, they spend far more time feeding our physical bodies with physical food than we do feeding our spirits and our soul with the spiritual food of the Word of God. Imagine if this was a year that whenever you took something to eat, you read a verse in the Bible, or you said, you know what, each time I have a regular meal, you know, if I'm going to have a breakfast, I'm going to read a chapter of my Bible along with that breakfast. When I have my lunch, you know what? You know, I'm going to take my break from work and I'm going to read a chapter of my Bible. I want to feed my spirit and feed my soul this year, just like I feed my physical body. I mean, there would be no words if you actually did that. If you actually made this a year where you decided that every time you took physical food into your body, you were going to put a little bit of spiritual food, a little bit of the word of God into your spirit and soul, the transformation that would happen in you or I, the change that would happen in you or I would be overwhelming. We wouldn't look like the same people. That's the power of putting the word of God in us. And so, again, we're going to talk about, you know, just about, you know, what are the things we need to do? You know, what are the things we can do? How can we get a deeper revelation of Jesus? How can we make this the most productive year? Make 2026 the most productive year of our lives, again, in living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, forgiving for Jesus. The most productive year of our lives, and using our time, talents, and money in service to Christ. And we're going to talk more about that, you know, as we begin the year. But we want to begin right away just by diving and feeding our spirit and soul in the scriptures. Again, you can wake up in the morning and take some spiritual food even before you take physical food. Maybe take some coffee and open and read a chapter of your Bible. Start the year by reading the scriptures. Start the year by reading through the New Testament, okay? Say, you know what? I'm going to read 3 chapters a day of the New Testament every day. If you read 3.5 chapters a day, every day from Genesis to the end of the Bible in Revelation, you'll have read through the Bible in a year. Go to the website, kingdomd.org, and you know where you'll see our Bible reading plans there, okay? And where you can follow that. But spend time in the scriptures. Begin to spend more time. Make this a year where you could say, I spent more time in my Bible. At the end of 2026, you could say, I spent more time in my Bible than in any other year of my life. Wouldn't that be something, right? Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Well, I'll close here with Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Go read those verses. Read Psalms 1, 1 to 3. Read it over and over and over and over. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the word of God. The law of the Lord is the scriptures. So your delight is just to sit down with your Bible, to sit down and spend time in the scriptures. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates how often? Day and night. This man is in the Bible day and night. Whether you're man or woman today, man, again, you can open the Bible and you can read a chapter and that'll take you maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes, right? I mean, yes, you can open the Bible and just memorize a verse or two, right? Just say, you know, I'm going to open my Bible and I'm just going to memorize a verse. I'm going to memorize John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay. And then go back and say, I want to memorize verse 17 with that. Okay. I got verse 16. Now I want to memorize verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So, again, make this a year where night and day, right, where you spend some time in the scriptures throughout the day. That's good if you have a special time every day where you sit down and read your Bible. But again, you don't have to have only an hour devotion time or a 30-minute devotion time. When you're in your car, you can be listening to the scriptures. The key is that you want to begin to spend more time in the scriptures. And as you do that, it will begin to be a greater and greater delight to you. His delight is in the law of the Lord, is in his Bible, and on his law he meditates day and night. And look at the result of this. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. Picture that. Picture a beautiful tree and water, just clear water, just flowing over it, right? Flowing over the, you know, at the base. It's just refreshed, right? It's just getting all the nutrients. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. If you'll spend time in the scriptures, you will be more fruitful this year. And whose leaf does not wither. The more time you spend in the scriptures, the less we'll be beat and tired and worn out and depressed. The scriptures will help us with all of these things. And finally, it says, whatever he does prospers. Whatever you do, man or woman, will prosper more when you spend more time meditating on the scriptures, reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, obeying the scriptures, and repenting where we fall short. Well, Father, we do thank you for our Bible. We thank you that we have these scriptures. We thank you for a new year, Father. We thank you for another opportunity to have a year of our life to grow, to live for Jesus more, to love for Jesus more, to give for Jesus more, and to forgive for Jesus more. Lord Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. We ask you to help us, Lord Jesus. We don't want to live on physical food alone this year, but on every word that's in our Bible. Holy Spirit, we ask you to seal this to our hearts now. We ask you to give us eyes that see Jesus like never before, ears to hear him, hearts to understand him, and hearts that we might know your word and live according to your word more and more for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.